Next Tuesday, September 1st, 2026, a 51-year-old mechanical engineer is officially being handed the keys to a $4.2 trillion empire.
Yeah, which is just, I mean, it's a completely staggering transition.
It really is. And, you know, his very first order of business seems to be tearing up the exact playbook that built that empire.
Right. It's a massive shift in philosophy. We're talking about basically the ultimate changing of the guard at the most valuable tech company on the planet.
We absolutely are. So after 15 years of just, you know, unmatched stewardship, Tim Cook is officially stepping down as CEO of Apple.
Right. He's moving to the executive chairman role.
Exactly. And he's passing the baton to John Ternus. And I want to make clear for you, the listener, this isn't just routine corporate musical chairs.
Right. Not at all.
Right. So our mission for you today is to unpack this highly detailed, really authoritative dossier we got from Tekken Game Media, just to understand this historic executive transition.
Yeah, we're really going to decode what this shift means for you. Like, moving from this mastermind of global logistics to a visionary of pure hardware engineering.
Because that impacts the devices you literally rely on every single day.
Exactly. And to understand the magnitude of what John Ternus is about to do, especially with that massive keynote coming up on September 9th, we kind of have to look at the economic fortress he's inheriting.
Oh, absolutely.
It's Tim Cook's foundation that gives Ternus the luxury and, well, the sheer capital to experiment so aggressively right now.
The numbers in this Tekken Game dossier are, they're almost hard to conceptualize. Like, when Tim Cook took over in August 2011, Apple was a $350 billion company.
Which was huge at the time, but...
Right. But critics were still highly skeptical. I mean, the narrative back then was that without Steve Jobs and his, you know, his messianic product intuition, Apple's innovation engine would just inevitably stall.
That was completely the consensus on Wall Street. Like, everyone expected a slow, graceful decline into mediocrity.
But instead, Cook grew it into a $4.2 trillion colossus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild.
Right. And they currently have an active installed base of 2.4 billion devices worldwide.
It's just massive.
And their cash reserves alone sit at over $160 billion.
And he didn't do it just by, like, keeping the iPhone assembly lines running, though he obviously did that flawlessly.
Yeah, he did.
But Cook's true legacy is really how he leveraged his expertise in global supply chain logistics.
Right.
He took all those operational efficiencies and used them to spin up completely new product categories that are, frankly, they're massive businesses on their own.
The scale is just crazy. I mean, the Apple Watch didn't just succeed. It became the best-selling timepiece in the world.
Beating the entire Swiss watch industry.
Exactly. And then AirPods. AirPods generate annual revenues that rival standalone Fortune 50 companies.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he launched spatial computing with the Vision Pro.
Right. But if you look at the architecture of the company, the absolute crown jewel of Cook's tenure was orchestrating that transition away from Intel processors.
Oh, the Apple Silicon move.
Yeah, moving to their own proprietary ARM-based Apple Silicon, you know, the M-series chips.
I was actually thinking about this, and the best way to understand Cook's legacy might be to look at him as like a master city planner.
Okay, I like that.
Right, so if Steve Jobs was the eccentric visionary architect who designed this one beautiful revolutionary glass skyscraper, the iPhone.
Right, right.
Then Tim Cook is the genius who came in and built the global supply lines, the six-lane highways, the power grid, and the utilities to turn that single building into this unstoppable, sprawling global metropolis.
That is a really strong comparison, though I would probably add one crucial detail to that.
What's that?
Well, Cook didn't just build the highways, right? He basically bought the companies that make the asphalt, and he engineered a way to lay that pavement at twice the speed for half the cost.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because by moving to Apple Silicon, he didn't just make the laptops faster. He drastically enhanced the hardware profit margins across the board.
Right. He took control of the whole stack.
Exactly. And redefined energy efficient computing for the whole industry. He secured that supply chain so tightly that competitors just, you know, they simply couldn't catch up.
So that's the sprawling metropolis we're talking about.
Yeah.
But now, because Cook has completely perfected those spreadsheets, the logistics, the margins, the Apple board is making a really deliberate pivot.
A huge pivot.
Right? They aren't handing the keys to another logistics or procurement guru. They're handing them to a pure mechanical engineer.
Yeah.
So for the listener, who exactly is John Ternus?
So John Ternus is someone with a 25-year history of deep, hands-on hardware excellence at Apple.
25 years.
Yeah. He joined their product design team way back in 2001. So he was right there in the trenches during the formative days of the original iPod.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, he inherently understands the physical DNA of these devices.
The dossier actually highlights an engineering portfolio that is, I mean, universally praised. It says he was the chief technical architect behind every single generation of the iPad Air and the iPad Pro. He led the engineering on that stunningly thin 5.1-millimeter iPad Pro, the one with the tandem OLED display.
Right, and he oversaw the development of MagSafe.
Oh, right, MagSafe.
And that 5.1-millimeter iPad Pro is really a perfect example of his philosophy, actually.
How so?
Well, to make a device that thin, you are basically fighting a war against physics.
Yeah.
You have to invent entirely new ways to dissipate heat, new structural integrity, so the device doesn't literally bend in your bag.
Right, nobody wants a bent iPad.
Exactly. And you need new display technologies to maintain that brightness without just immediately draining the battery. Turnus thrives on those physical constraints.
He also led the widely celebrated redesign of the MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
And this detail really stood out to me in the dossier because he was the one who actually listened to the professional users.
The touch bar, right.
Yes, he killed the controversial touch bar, he restored the HDMI and SD card ports, and he brought back the MagSafe charging for laptops.
Right, which people loved.
Plus, he directed the hardware integration for the entire Apple Silicon family, right up to the modern M5 and M6 architectures.
He just speaks the language of hardware natively. You know, he approaches a product not by asking, how many units can we ship, but by asking, how closely can we align the physical materials with the software experience?
I do have to push back a little here, though,
Okay, go for it.
because we are firmly in the age of generative AI.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, the entire tech industry is fixated on large language models, autonomous reasoning agents, cloud dominance. Software is fundamentally eating the world right now.
Yep.
So, isn't it kind of an incredible risk to put a pure hardware and mechanical engineer in charge of the most valuable tech company on earth at this specific moment?
You know, it's funny you say that because it is the most common critique you hear right now.
I'm sure it is.
But it reveals a fundamental misunderstanding of Apple's core design philosophy. In their view, you absolutely cannot separate the software from the hardware. If you want to run advanced artificial intelligence perfectly, and by perfectly, I mean it responds instantly and maintains your total privacy, you have to architect the device from the atomic level upward.
Meaning you can't just like take an off-the-shelf phone, connect it to the internet, and slap a smart AI chatbot on it.
Exactly, because if the AI has to send your question to a data center, process it, and send it back, you introduce lag.
And privacy risks.
Huge privacy risks. Turnus operates on the belief that hardware is Apple's ultimate structural moat.
Okay.
Seamless AI demands custom silicon. It demands incredibly specific thermal dissipation limits and unified memory architectures. You really need a hardware visionary to build the physical vessel that makes the software feel like magic.
Okay, that structural moat makes sense in theory, but Turnus is stepping into the CEO role, facing a very real, very immediate threat matrix. He has massive existential storms to navigate
Right.
if he actually wants to bring that hardware vision to life.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Apple is currently behind in the AI race, aren't they?
They are. The Taking Game dossier confirms that Apple initially lagged significantly behind the cloud-native AI pioneers.
Like OpenAI and Google.
Right, and Anthropic. Their initial Apple Intelligence rollout was very cautious. It relied heavily on smaller, constrained on-device models and hybrid cloud routing.
And that drew a lot of industry scrutiny, right, for simply not being smart enough compared to the others.
Exactly.
So how does Turnus plan to close a gap that wide when the competitors have, like, a multi-year head start?
Well, the dossier outlines a highly aggressive three-tier AI convergence strategy.
Okay, break that down for us.
So the first tier involves rapidly scaling up what they call private cloud compute, or PCC, data centers.
PCC, got it.
And instead of using standard server tech,
Yeah.
they are powering these centers with custom M5 Max server clusters. Yeah, this ensures end-to-end cryptographic privacy, meaning even Apple cannot see the data you send to the cloud for those really complex AI tasks.
So they are basically taking the incredibly efficient chips they designed for their laptops and turning them into secure, localized server farms.
Exactly.
That's smart. What is the second tier?
The second tier is a complete re-architecture of Siri in iOS Chrome 7. They're moving Siri away from being just a simple voice assistant and turning it into a proactive, multimodal operating system agent.
And multimodal meaning it doesn't just process text or voice, but it can actually see
Yeah.
what is on your screen.
Yeah.
Like, it can understand your photos and take complex actions across different apps on your behalf.
Precisely. It becomes an active participant in how you actually use the phone.
Okay, that's huge. And the third tier.
The third tier is where Turnus's hardware background really shines. Apple is aggressively acquiring specialized neural compression startups.
Neural compression. Let me guess. I imagine that means taking these massive trillion-parameter AI models that usually require, like, a warehouse full of computers.
Right.
And somehow soldering them up to fit inside a smartphone.
That is exactly what it means. It's called model pruning and quantization.
Okay.
You basically strip away the unnecessary mathematical weights of an AI model until it is small enough to run entirely within the physical memory of a mobile device.
That's incredible.
Yeah, they want the brain on your phone, not in a data center thousands of miles away.
And as if completely rewriting the rules of artificial intelligence wasn't enough of a puzzle, mm-hmm. Turnus also has to navigate this geopolitical and regulatory minefield.
Oh, the legal side is intense right now.
Yeah. And I want to say, as we discuss this for you listening, we are strictly looking at the legal frameworks detailed in the sources.
Yeah.
We're absolutely not taking a side on antitrust law or, you know, rendering a verdict on Apple's practices.
Right, just looking at the facts on the ground.
Exactly. But the objective reality is that the European Commission is strictly enforcing the Digital Markets Act, the DMA.
Yep.
And simultaneously, the U.S. Department of Justice has parallel antitrust litigation moving forward.
And both of those legal frameworks are taking direct aim at Apple's incredibly lucrative 30% App Store revenue model.
Right, and their mandatory ecosystem exclusivity.
Exactly. The walled garden is completely under siege.
So Turnus has to figure out how to architect platforms that comply with these global mandates, you know, allowing third-party app stores and alternative payments without destroying the core profitability and the security of their services.
Which is a microscopic needle to thread.
Seriously.
And he has to thread that needle while simultaneously managing a monumental logistical shift.
The supply chain stuff.
Right. Apple is in the middle of diversifying its multi-billion device supply chain away from mainland China.
Wow.
Yeah. They are moving massive production hubs to India, to Vietnam, and utilizing advanced foundries in Arizona.
The sheer physics of moving a supply chain that big is just staggering. I mean, think about it. If you are manufacturing a billion iPhones and your new factory has a yield rate problem that causes even a 1% defect rate.
That's 10 million broken phones.
10 million broken phones.
Yeah.
The operational discipline required to balance component quality across all that geopolitical friction is just immense.
It really is the ultimate trial by fire for a new CEO.
So if Turnus's entire strategy relies on bringing massive server-level AI down to the device in your pocket while simultaneously fighting off these regulatory logistical fires, how is he actually going to build it?
Well, that is the exact question he has to answer at the Steve Jobs Theater on September 9th.
The big keynote.
Right. And the supply chain disclosures in the dossier give us a very clear picture of his answer. He is going to engineer consumer hardware so advanced that it fundamentally rewrites the playing field.
The September 9th keynote is basically Turnus's inaugural test.
Definitely.
And the centerpiece of this presentation is going to be the debut of the flagship iPhone 18 Pro and Pro Max.
Yep.
But the physical phone itself isn't the real story here, is it?
Not at all. The story is what is powering it. Apple is debuting the world's first commercial 2-nanometer processor, the Apple A20 Pro.
The A20 Pro. Okay, so the jump to a 2-nanometer architecture, that is a monumental leap in physics.
Oh, absolutely. It's fabricated using TSMC's N2 JF nanosheet technology.
Okay, let's translate that for everyone, because terms like nanosheet lithography can sound like absolute science fiction.
Fair enough.
So when we say 2-nanometer, we are talking about the physical size of the transistors on the chip, right?
Yes, exactly. Think about it like designing a city's road network.
Okay.
In older chips, the transistors, the roads, are laid out flat next to each other. As you make them smaller, the electrons start leaking into adjacent roads.
Which causes heat and wastes battery.
Exactly. What nanosheet technology does is stack those transistors vertically, kind of like sheets of paper.
Oh, I see.
It gives Apple complete control over the electrical current at an atomic scale. The distance the electrons have to travel is so incredibly short that it requires very little power and generates almost no heat.
Which perfectly explains the specs in the dossier. So the A20 Pro features an upgraded neural engine that delivers 60 trillion operations per second.
50 TOPS, yes.
50 TOPS. And it does that while drawing 35% less energy than the previous generation.
And to fuel those 60 trillion operations, The chip is paired with 16 gigabytes of LPDDR6 unified memory.
Wow.
Right, featuring 120 gigabytes per second of dedicated memory bandwidth.
Okay, if you are listening and wondering why you should care about 120 gigabytes of memory bandwidth, think about the last time you asked your phone a complex question and you just sat there.
Just staring at a spinning wheel.
Right. The screen is spinning, it's pinging a server somewhere in Nevada, and you are just waiting. Large language models require massive amounts of memory to be read instantly in order to generate text or reason through a problem.
Yeah, that memory bandwidth is essentially the pipeline between the AI model and the processor.
Right.
By building a pipeline that wired directly into the A20 Pro, Apple is enabling fully local execution of their advanced AI models. No cloud round trips at all.
So you ask your phone to cross-reference an email with your calendar and draft a nuanced reply and thinks about the answer right there in your hand, instantly. Safely.
It is the definition of true ambient computing.
Amazing.
And the roadmap shows Turnus is pushing this philosophy across entirely new physical form factors, too. He's initiating a full-blown hardware renaissance.
Like what?
Well, emphasizing daring breakthroughs in materials and thermodynamics. For instance, they are moving to a titanium carbon composite chassis.
Oh, which provides ultra-lightweight structural rigidity.
Exactly.
But the detail that really caught my eye is that they are commercializing next-generation solid-state batteries.
Yes. This is perhaps the most significant hardware leap of all.
Really?
Yeah. Current lithium-ion batteries use a liquid electrolyte to move energy back and forth.
Oh.
That liquid is flammable, it generates heat, and it requires physical space to swell and contract inside the device.
Nobody wants a swollen battery.
Right. A solid-state battery replaces that liquid with a solid material.
Because it's solid, it's safer, but it also means you can pack the energy storage much tighter.
Precisely. The dossier says these new cells offer 50% higher energy density and support 80-watt rapid charging.
So you could effectively double the battery life of a MacBook or an iPhone without making the device a single millimeter thicker.
Exactly. Or, and this is key, you can use that density to power entirely new devices that require massive computational power but have very little physical space.
Oh, which brings us to the two massive product reveals expected at this keynote.
Right.
Okay, first, Turnus is slated to reveal Apple's first commercial AI-powered smart glasses.
This is huge.
According to the dossier, these will utilize transparent micro-LED displays. And instead of trying to cram a heavy processor and battery into the frames, they use distributed neural computing tethered directly to the A20 Pro chip in your iPhone.
Yeah, because the phone is doing all the heavy lifting, the glasses themselves will weigh under 75 grams.
Under 75 grams. I mean, for context, a standard pair of Ray-Bans weighs around 45 to 50 grams.
Right.
So these are barely heavier than regular sunglasses. The technology literally disappears onto your face.
And they are also giving an exclusive design preview of the foldable iPhone Ultra.
Finally.
Yeah. This device features multi-gear, micron-level titanium hinges designed to deliver a seamless, flexible OLED panel with absolutely zero crease in the center.
When you look at all these pieces together, the 2-nanometer chips, the solid-state batteries, the titanium hinges, you see exactly why they put a mechanical engineer in charge.
It makes total sense now.
Right. To build a pair of AI glasses that weigh 75 grams or a phone that folds perfectly flat, you have to master thermodynamics and component size at the atomic level.
It perfectly encapsulates the overarching theme of this transition. Apple is fundamentally shifting away from the era of incremental financial optimization.
They are reclaiming their identity as a fearless engineering laboratory. The era of global logistics is officially passing the baton to the era of sovereign neural silicon. John Turnus is sending an unmistakable message that the future doesn't belong to the cloud.
No, it belongs to companies that seamlessly fuse hardware, custom silicon, and neural algorithms at the absolute lowest physical layer of the stack.
It is a bold, contrarian vision. I mean, the entire industry is building bigger and bigger data centers, and Apple is betting that consumers want their AI to be personal, private, and tethered to the devices in their pockets.
Yep. So what does this all mean for the devices you use every day?
Well, it means that when Tim Cook steps down this coming Tuesday, it isn't just another corporate handover. It is the opening chapter of a completely new technological era.
A return to pushing the absolute limits of physics.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. Thank you so much for taking this deep dive with us today. We really hope unpacking this dossier uniquely prepares you for the September 9th keynote and the massive shifts coming to the tech industry.
Same here.
But before we go, we want to leave you with one final mind-bending thought to ponder on your own.
Right. If Apple's hardware-first approach truly succeeds.
If our phones and a 75-gram pair of smart glasses can eventually process massive, complex AI reasoning entirely on device, instantly, without ever needing to talk to a server, does this mean the massive, energy-hungry cloud data center model we spent the last decade building is about to become a relic of the past? Think about it.